You're listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, Around Atlanta Edition, showcasing the best of Metro Atlanta, our communities, the attractions, and the special events that make Atlanta great. Welcome to our virtual town square. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Around Atlanta Edition. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. Good morning, Carol. I'm looking forward to this one. This is another cool museum in town that I don't think we have had the pleasure of showcasing on the show before.
We have not, and I'm looking forward to it as well. It's always surprising to me that you can live here for 30 years or however long I've been here, and still there's stuff you've never heard of.
Well, and that's the reason we do this show, is to expose our audience and this community all the amazing things going on in this great city. So let's get to it. We're joined this morning by Leatrice Elzey. She is the executive director of Hammond's House Museum. Leatrice, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Before we get into Hammond's House, Leatrice, take a few quick seconds to tell us a bit about you and your background.
Well, my background is I am Alabama born, but I grew up in Delaware, went to college in Nashville, Tennessee, ended up in Atlanta, Georgia. So I've been in Atlanta and actually working in the arts field in Atlanta for the past 20 years. So I have actually kind of gone through a number of different careers in my lifetime, but most of them, mostly all of them outside of commercial television and radio, were focused on nonprofit management. So through Girl Scouting, through a YWCA, Georgia Public Broadcasting, and then I started at Woodruff Arts Center about 20 years ago. And my career since that time has all been arts related.
Outstanding.
What a fun career.
It has been, actually.
It's really fun. Tell us a little bit about your role at the Hammond's House Museum.
Well, the Hammond's House Museum, I serve in the capacity of executive director. And so I manage the day-to-day operations, workings, the artistic management, like all aspects of the organization.
So for those listening who are not familiar with Hammond's House Museum, what is it? What do you exhibit there?
Hammond's House Museum is a museum, and actually the first unique thing about us is that we're a house museum. So the Hammond's House Museum is one of the oldest three houses in the West End area. It is a beautiful, beautiful Victorian style house, which is a great place to come to work every day. It was built actually before the Civil War.
Wow.
And so at that time, the time of the Civil War, when, you know, Sherman came through and burned up Atlanta, the West End was not really considered part of Atlanta at that time. And so that house, as well as other houses in that community, were spared. And so the house has had a number of different owners, but the last owner was an African-American doctor named O.T. Hammonds, Otis Thrash Hammonds. And he had a humongous art collection. As a matter of fact, he bought the house because he needed a place to show off his collection. When he got the home, it had been dilapidated, had been, you know, no one had lived there for a number of years. And so he took a full year just to source materials to bring it back to its Victorian beauty from around the world. So he flew all over the world. I mean, like, our staircase is from Germany. The chandeliers in the house are from different places in Europe. So he really paid a lot of attention to the detail of what made a Victorian home beautiful. The next year, and really the next couple of years, they went through the process of just rehabbing the house. And then he moved in, but he didn't stay in the house for a year before he passed.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
Yeah. So when he died, Dr. Michael Lomax was the chairman of the Fulton County Board of Commissioners at the time. They had been friends. He understood how painstakingly the collection had been built as well as the house. And so with library funds, they purchased the home for the county, thinking that it would become the African-American Research Library, which we now know as Auburn Avenue Research Library. So it didn't become that.
Right.
Instead, it became the Hammond's House Museum. So at that time, Atlanta did not have an African-American art museum. Ed Spriggs, who was the founder of the museum, had come to Atlanta from Harlem, where he was the second director of the Studio Museum in Harlem, which is one of the largest African-American museums in the country and most prestigious. And so Ed just kind of had his eye on the Hammond's House and thought, this should be Atlanta's African-American museum. So that is what we became. So we are the standalone. You also have Clark Atlanta and Spelman with museums. But since they're connected to universities, they're not really open year-round. They do stellar work. It's just that they're not accessible all year, but we are.
That's phenomenal. So not only do you have this beautiful Victorian house that's kind of there to showcase, and it's historical, but then you've got everything inside it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, walk us through some of those exhibits. Yeah. I mean, what kind of things could you see there?
Well, you can see a little bit of everything there. I mean, even if we just go through our past year that we've had at the Hammond's House, we opened last year with Carrie Mae Weems, who is one of the top African-American artists in the world. So we showed one of her exhibits last year, and that's what we kicked our year off with. It was our 30th anniversary. So that's something else I didn't mention, is that we're actually in our 31st year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And then we kind of ran through the years. So we went from Carrie Mae Weems to Fahamu Peku, who's another well-known artist in Atlanta, but also globally. And he curated a show there for us. We did a show of our own collection. So we had, so as I said, Dr. Hammond's had collected 250 important pieces by very, very important 20th century artists. And then what has been added over the past 30 years has like brought our collection up to over 500 pieces in the collection. So last year we actually put our own collection on view. We have the highest number of Romare Bearden's in the Southeast region of the country. And then we had an emerging artist last year who ended up winning a Spanx competition. So now her work is on Spanx bras.
Wow.
And what have you. And
that's good exposure, I suppose.
Exactly. And then we ended the year last year with an Afrofuturist artist. So Afrofuturism, you know, that means that there are Black people in the future. And so it's a way of looking at the past and looking at the present and looking at the future and how those things merge together. And so we ended with him last year. So that's just kind of, and which is more, you'll see like cartoons or, you know, that type. So Black Panther is a great example of Afrofuturism.
That's a phenomenal movie. I loved that.
Yeah. So we ended with an exhibition that was very futuristic. It was amazing. So that's what our year looked like last year. You know, this year, however, looks very different. Mm-hmm. So every time you come to the Hammond's House Museum, you see something different. But yeah, we're pretty excited about what we have an opportunity to do, because what we do is we provide artists of color with a voice and an opportunity to show work and to show the world as they see it through their individual lens and a very unique lens.
Hi there, I'm Ty Pennington. I've been in construction for a long time, and I can promise you this. You can trust a Jackson EMC Right Choice home to be designed and built to the highest standards. The thorough inspection process has quality control built right in, which means savings and comfort for you. It's all part of Jackson EMC's promise. Energy efficient homes guaranteed. Ask your Jackson EMC representative for complete warranty terms and conditions.
Well, I know that you have a really exciting exhibit open right now and so popular that you've extended it.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Absolutely. It's called Dandelion, Re-Articulating Black Masculine Identity. And when people walk into the house, what they will see on the walls are very well-dressed Black men. It's great energy for the house. So, you know, I have almost all female staff. So, you know, to be able to come in every day and just see fine brothers on the wall is fantastic. But it is once again, another very, very important exhibition. The curator, Chantrell Lewis, she's from New Orleans, but lives in Philadelphia, curated the show because about 10 years ago, there were so many negative stereotypes about Black men in the media. And she said, I was being bombarded with all this negativity. And I was thinking, I don't know these men. This is not my father or my grandfather or my uncles or any men that I grew up with, which is the story for most, you know, African-American people. And so she wanted to create a counter narrative to that narrative that was just being, you know, just exploding in media. And so she created Dandelion, and she created it originally as a pop-up in Harlem. It was only supposed to be like a 2-day kind of pop-up, and then it got extended. And then it got extended again. And then she ended up starting to travel around the country. And now it has traveled all over the world. So
that's amazing.
But it's a beautiful photography exhibition. We have about 88 pieces hanging in the museum. Wow. And so a person can come and really get lost in it.
I just think it's such a great culture to show. You know, I can sit here and name, you know, dozens of Black men I know in my life who were incredibly well-dressed, incredibly focused on family and just have these amazing careers and just, you know, don't look at all like what the media is portraying.
Yeah.
So I commend this effort. I think it's fantastic.
Well, thank you. And this is our way of also celebrating Black men. So throughout the run of this show, we've done a lot of really great, it's given us an opportunity to do a lot of great programming. We had one program called The Shape Up, which brought in teenagers. and taught them how to tie ties. And, you know, they walked away with a tie. And how many lapel, you know, notches does, what does that mean about this suit or about that tuxedo or what have you? But also taught them about financial wellness and also taught them about health and wellness. So they really came and spent the day with us and they got etiquette. They found out about fashion and style and how to identify and find their own fashion and style, but also, you know, those things that are really life hacks, you know, things in life that they really need. So that was so popular. We had a waiting list for it that we've added an extra one. So we will be doing another one of those next month. And then on Saturday, we have a really important conversation for Black men because, you know, it's called Beyond the Barbershop. You know, Black men go into the barbershop on weekends and that's where they have their talks, you know, with one another. So between sports and the barbershop, this is where Black men bind together. But we wanted to also provide another opportunity for them to bind together and like really talk about these important issues, you know, and just kind of have the freedom to talk about these things. And so it's the event is almost sold out. But what we saw is that there were a lot of couples, you know, women who signed their husbands up or husbands that signed up with their wives. And so we feel like it's going to be a really, really powerful conversation.
Sounds fascinating. And I mad respect for providing these African-American artists a voice and giving them a platform to showcase what moves them. And I think that's a responsibility of all museums, representing all different things and cultures. And I mean, I think that's a duty that a museum such as yours has to play, yes?
I agree. Absolutely. You know, I've been in the arts for, like I said, for quite some time. And the conversation about diversity in the arts has been an ongoing conversation ever since I've been in it. And I believe that diversity it's wonderful to talk about diversity and to do some diverse things, but it is another thing to actually walk that walk, you know, and it's hard. It's not easy, you know, and especially when we're looking at, you know, I'm part of a national organization where we really are talking about issues of diversity. And it's a mixture of Black people and white people and Asian and Hispanic and what have you. But what we're finding is that some of our counterparts who live in all white enclaves, they're really struggling with this notion of how to do this. Because the reality is doing it is the challenge. You know, how do I do it in my space where there are no people of color or there are not enough people of color for me to, you know, to rock the boat? You know, and so it's an interesting conversation. It's a conversation that arts leaders have been having for a long time. But it's beautiful to be in a space like the Hammond's House Museum. I mean, you know, we're very focused on, you know, we understand what, you know, Black artists and artists of color have done, you know, just for the entire world and what their contributions have been to the world. And so when they could not be anyplace else, there was a space for them at the Hammond's House, you know. And so now that doors are opening in other places, we are thrilled about that. But that doesn't mean that this space is not needed anymore because there's still not enough doors that are opening in other spaces for them.
Well, I think it's important for both artists and consumers of art to expose themselves to more diverse cultures and more diverse art forms because it improves your own art and your own approach and view of the world. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we want to be global citizens, that means get you a passport and be global. Mm-hmm. You know, but even if your passport is in the city of Atlanta, where there is so much diversity here, it's not only, you know, as much as I love the work that's done at the High, but it's the High is not the only place to find art from a visual standpoint.
Exactly.
There's so many other places around the city that can really be, you know, expose you. And so we love seeing, I mean, we actually have a very diverse group of people that come into the Hammond's House Museum. And that is, I love seeing that.
Yeah, agreed.
So what are some of the opportunities to get involved? If you know, are you looking for volunteers? How do you apply?
Yeah, we're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for members. We're always looking for, you know, just really people engaging on, people do come and engage on a lot of different levels. So people, if they want to volunteer, they can go to our website and there is a About Us, I think it's under About Us, but it's someplace on the website where they can fill out a volunteer application form because we do have a lot of activities. So it's not only about visual art. We also deal with music and we deal with theatrical pieces. We have a theater piece that is going to be done at the museum soon. We do jazz at the museum. So there's a lot of different things that we do there and people can really find a space for themselves.
And when you say members, are you talking about like paid annual members to financially support the work that you
do?
So share more about that. I imagine there's other ways to financially support the museum as well. Yes.
Yeah, we have a membership. We encourage people to become sustaining members as part of our Aspiration Society, which is $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month. And that really sustains the institution. It helps us to understand what our cash flow is going to be every month and what have you. You know, there's challenges with for institutions of color with funding from, especially, you know, we get government funding and, you know, from certain sources that fund, you know, like the NEA and those types of organizations. But when you start looking at the foundation circles, it becomes a little bit more challenging for institutions of color because foundations are, you know, if there's no one like us sitting around the table to understand a particular aesthetic or understand how this is done or why this is done, then often you are not considered for those type of foundation grants. And so, again, the foundation community is trying to start to address this because it's an issue of diversity, like we talked about earlier, and they're trying to address it, but they're not there yet. Yeah. So therefore, individual donations and contributions are very helpful for us, along with the grant funding that we do get from the city of Atlanta, from Fulton County, and what have you.
What about sponsorships? Are there ways for corporations
always,
to get involved?
Yes, always ways for sponsorship. And so if they just contact us at the Hammond's House, and then we'll let them know about events that we have coming up. Like in the fall, we'll have Hammond's House Honors, where we'll be honoring artists who are doing excellent work. So that's a great opportunity for a sponsor to get involved with that, as well as other things that we do around education and children, things that we do with the schools and what have you.
I wish we had more time to get into some of that. Leatrice, one last time to get information on all this, what is the website?
Hammondshouse.org, H-A-M-M-O-N-D-S, house.org.
Leatrice Elzey, the Executive Director of the Hammond's House Museum. Leatrice, it was great to have you. Thanks again for stopping by
and joining us. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure was ours. All right. Well, that wraps this week's Around Atlanta edition. On behalf of my co-host, Carol Morgan, I am Todd Schneck. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and we'll look forward to seeing you again right here tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Today's episode was made possible by Denham Marketing, the publisher of Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Denham Marketing is a comfortable fit, like your favorite pair of jeans. Denham Marketing tailors marketing strategies to meet your specific needs and niche. Try them on for size. They will work to create a perfect fit for your company's marketing program. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@denimmarketing.com. For more information on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio or to inquire about being a guest, contact info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by listening to the show on your podcast or iTunes app. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.